You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and with our listeners out there. And you know I can never, ever remember where they are.
Maybe they can't remember where they are either.
If anybody figures out where they are, let us know.
Yes.
Let us know, yeah.
Bob, my question here is about gold. Newmont Gold, their profits were bigger than what the estimates were. Gold mining itself, is it still a good thing to get into?
Oh, well, we had the huge rush into earlier in the year, and everything got way overbought, and we've had a corrective period. Now, on the longer term, history suggests that once a great financial bubble is over, and this one is trying to be over, then you get many, many years of gold's real price going up. And that's deflated by the consumer price index. But we take it a step further and deflate the price of gold by the CRB commodities index. Assuming that the commodity index is a proxy for mining costs. So anyways, and it again was caught up in the excitement earlier in the year, and we expect that now this long increase in gold's real price makes it consistently profitable for gold miners. And the gold miners could outperform the S&P. And mind you, there's, you know, the usual 3 to 4 year business cycle where things come and go, but we're in the early stages of a multi-decade favorable climate for gold miners. This is what happens following a great financial bubble. So it looks to me that this great bubble is climaxing. And now, what we would like to see, Jim, is for historical purposes, in 1929, New York peaked in early September, I think September 3rd. It was the 1873 bubble. New York peaked in that September, and then began the long bear market and the contraction in the economy. And normally, in the normal business cycle, you'll have the stock market, as represented by the S&P, peak, and then the economy peaks maybe a year later. And this is why the authorities have put the S&P 500 as a leading indicator. But that doesn't work at the top of a bubble, because stocks go up with the bubble and they come down when the bubble completes. So it shows that the establishment has not done enough historical research to be aware of this critical point, and that is that when this bubble has not, we're not certain if it has completed. I would like to see it complete in New York in September, just because that has happened before. And then everything would turn south fast. And we'll see how it all works this time around. But bubble stuff, Jim, we have got. You've got the hot leading groups have been incredible. You've got the public coming into the market, and they don't get into the market at major bottoms. As a matter of fact, they're avoiding it with both hands. But here we are. So here's the probability that this market in New York peaks in September, rolls over and dies. Now, here's the other one from history, Jim. It's going back as far as I could in history. The great financial disasters, like liquidity crisis and all that sort of stuff, margin selling, have occurred in the fall of the year. And even in the 1300s, I got a book by Italian historian Cipolla, and there was a great mortgage crisis in 1300, early 1300s. And then going through the book, you can get out that the worst parts of that liquidity crisis occurred in the fall. So it's built in, and it makes me wary of what can happen, say, after August, September.
So
and we will know when that time comes.
So perhaps beware the Ides of September?
Sure, that's a good one. Yeah, the Ides, of course, being Latin for the middle of the month.
Yeah. Bob, do we know why financial crises tend to happen in the fall? I heard the theory that it happened when farmers had a poor crop and the things that they had invested in collapsed because they couldn't pay their debts.
Oh, those are all details, Jim.
Yeah.
It happens in the fall. If it's going to happen, it will happen in the fall.
Because we've had a continuous year of record highs, does it make it more precarious?
Each great bubble was at record highs, Jim.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye from What's Up With That? Japan chooses reliable energy over climate nonsense.
Isn't that a good one? Yeah, Japan's going to coal and oil over windmills and solar cells.
And for British Columbia, we're now exporting LNG, and more liquefied natural gas plants are planned. And the province has a huge surplus, something like 200 years worth of supply guaranteed. And Alberta, along with that, plus we have the federal government saying it's going to go along with more pipelines being built from Alberta to the BC coast.
Yeah, it's the problem is that Prime Minister Carney, under it all, is a green zealot. And while there's a memorandum of understanding, he will do whatever he can to make sure that no new pipelines are built. He's determined. I read his book. So we'll see how it goes. I personally hope that if we go into a financial crisis later in the year, that such a crisis could collapse his government and we can get rid of him because he really believes that carbon dioxide affects the weather. My God, it's there. You've got charts going back millions of years, Jim, and you can go back a couple hundred million years ago, and atmospheric concentrations of CO2, which are now around 425 parts per million, they're up to 7,000 parts per million. And it had nothing to do with the temperature. That little tiny little molecule of carbon dioxide doesn't have a shiny side that faces down, reflecting photons of energy back to the Earth. No, you get a photon of energy coming from the Earth. The CO2 molecule gives a little wiggle, and that's it. So, and then here's the other one, if you go through the history, that on a long cooling trend in the climate, it'll end and then turn up to a warming trend, and atmospheric CO2 concentration follows by around 500 years. So atmospheric concentrations of CO2 have nothing to do with forcing climate, let alone the weather. And that's the way it is. So the hysterical crowd is just using it to control people and raise their taxes. Let's show in a little hysteria and we can tax you to protect you. It really is one of the greatest scams in history. And actually, even at 425 parts per million, geologically speaking, that is on the low side. As I said, it can get up to 7,000 parts per million. And 425 is on the low side. And if it gets down to 150 parts per million, it's the end of life as we know on this planet.
From Zero Hedge, the headline, Private Credit, the New Junk Bond Market.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a great headline? Private Credit, the New Junk Bond Market. So they're making something that's even riskier than junk. We'll see how it goes.
What is this new private credit market, or has it been around for a long time?
No, it's relatively recent.
Yeah.
And what it is, Jim, it says private credit.
So you're not going through a bank. You're asking somebody.
There's some sort of private credit market out there, Jim.
Yeah. From Zero Hedge, start spreading the news. New York losing billions as millionaires flee Big Apple.
Yeah. The new communist mayor of New York City is messing things up badly, and people are just leaving. It's like in Canada, where they're starting with the Trudeau government a decade ago. They just made life absolutely, well, for developers and, you know, practical plants and everything else. They just made life economically unfeasible. So a whole lot of money and projects went to the U.S. So they don't understand. You're basic communist, or fledgling communist in this case, don't understand that if they impair or attack capital goes away. Just like that. That's it. They don't have to stay and take the abuse. So you have, sadly, happening in New York City. And big money, big accounts are just plain leaving and going to Texas. Texas, one of the major cities there, could become the next New York. And New York ends up just being a relic of what it was.
Headline from Zero Hedge, fastest and deepest tech Momo sell-off in history.
Yeah, that's month-to-month sell-off in history. And it'd be the a certain portion of the tech market. And month-to-month sell-off has been horrendous.
People bailing out of high tech into something else?
Usually on things like this, they're just getting out to protect their margin, Jim.
Mm-hmm. From Zero Hedge, the money printers fueling socialism's rise.
Yeah, socialist governments have unlimited ambition, and they raise taxes as far as they can, and then when there's too much obvious pain from taxes, they then go to depreciating the currency, inflating. And there's always a central bank eager to help out in the inflation department.
From Bloomberg, the Bitcoin slump is crushing companies that stockpile tokens.
Yeah. Doesn't that tell you a lot? The Bitcoin slump. I mean, it was a crazy mania, a very huge mania, a very important mania, and it's fading.
Well, of course, we know Bitcoin is just a concept. It has no assets backing it.
Yeah, it's very elusive out there, Jim, and but whatever it is, it's fading.
And, well, at least with a tulip, you could grow something beautiful. I know, because I asked as soon as Bitcoin, you know, took off, I always asked, is this the new tulip mania where, oh, look, it's pretty, let's invest in it. But, of course, it has no value except for being beautiful.
Yeah, well, the tulip mania was 1637. When Antwerp was the major market and commercial center of the world, so it was a very important place. And an unsophisticated public started speculating in tulip bulbs. And the authorities, who were well experienced in financial markets, said, we have nothing to do with this, we won't have anything to do with it, and anybody who plays it, you do at your own risk. So the authorities knew the tulip bulb crisis was crazy, but the people had to play them anyways. And when it broke, it did a lot of harm to the financials.
Now, I'm wondering if we wanted to really boost our economy, should governments remove taxes on fuel? In Britain, the new prime minister says he's going to take the tax off consumer power bills to help them survive because their power bills are astronomical compared to ours. But Frank Stronach, the founder of Magna International, when he was here on Howe Street, he said, if you really want to see an economy boom, take the taxes off fuel because that's the biggest cost for most projects.
Yeah, that's right. Now, England is in a particularly interesting bind. As a new prime minister, they're being pure, and they will not allow production from England's gas or oil fields that are in the North Atlantic. Okay, but on the other side of the North Atlantic, you got Norway, and they're producing. So England is buying oil and gas from Norway while preventing the production of their portion from the same field. I mean, Jim, they are crazy.
And Norway has some incredible amount of money in their pension fund because, unlike Alberta, which keeps blowing its rainy day fund on political projects, Hilliard Macbeth, another friend of the show, said if Alberta hadn't dipped into their rainy day fund every time an election came up, they'd have over $1 trillion saved up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a substantial amount of cash.
Oh, yeah.
But Norway has not dipped into their fund that they started building when they started drilling for oil and gas, instead keeping it for future generations.
Mm-hmm.
Should there not have been a law in Alberta? You can't touch this for 50 years.
Yeah, they're that on their side of the North Sea, Norway's been practical. On the Brit side of the North Sea, they've been insane.
Yeah,
over the same field.
Yeah, I think you said, "Oh, we'll allow them to take more out of existing resources, but we're not going to allow more drilling."
Whatever.
Yeah, and of course, in oil and gas, that's death for the industry if you can't explore for more.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, any other thoughts for us before we wrap up the interview?
Well, I had a little list here of, we can throw in a couple. If a Republican doesn't like guns, he doesn't buy one. If a Democrat doesn't like guns, he wants all guns outlawed. And here's another one. If a Republican is a vegetarian, he does not eat meat. If a Democrat is a vegetarian, he wants all meat products banned for everyone. You get my gist.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yep, and we will get together next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.